Hello and welcome to Trail Mix by Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast. I'm Mike.
And I'm Dusty. If you're joining us for the first time, Trail Mix is the short format episodes of our show. While our long format episodes explore one hiking trail and one national park, one park at a time, Trail Mix allows us to dive deeper into the things we didn't get to cover in our long format episodes, including interviews, history, science, environmental justice, and more.
But Trail Mix also allows us an opportunity to chat about traveling and talk about the things we're excited about when it comes to hiking, camping, and being outdoors. This episode has been highly anticipated by at least one of us, and it is indeed our episode on California condors, the largest wild birds in North America.
Okay, so let's talk. We recently saw California condors. Mm-hmm. Up close and personal.
Well, I mean,
like the, you know,
as up close as you're getting.
Yeah, I mean, just like the Robert Redford, Michelle Pfeiffer film, Up Close mm-hmm. and Personal, mm-hmm. which is where we get the song "Because You Loved mm-hmm. Me," which is what played in my head when I saw them.
The condors, or Michelle Pfeiffer and Robert Redford?
No, the condors.
Oh.
For all those times you stood by me.
That. You really fumbled through at the start of that.
And well, it doesn't matter. So what did we know about California condors prior to seeing them?
Just that they had been endangered at a point, like critically endangered, but mm-hmm. they are bounding back.
That's it.
That's all I knew. And they were big.
Yeah.
You knew more.
Yes. I did know a little bit more when I began my bird journey.
Mm-hmm.
But let's dive into some of these, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
California condors are among some of the world's largest and rarest birds. They share similar features to a turkey vulture and a black vulture. But if you get the chance to see these two species next to each other, like we did,
mm-hmm.
their differences are undeniable. An average turkey vulture is around 2 to 3 feet long, with a wingspan of up to 6 feet. They are also sizable birds, but a California condor can be up to 4 feet long. That means from head to feet. Or end of tail feather, and a wingspan of almost 10 feet.
Damn. Condors are often known for their pink and featherless heads. While this is the way that condors are often portrayed in art, this is the look of the adult condor. Young or juvenile condors have a different look that looks similar to a black vulture. Juvenile condors have grayish black heads, and they don't reach their feathers and head coloring of an adult for about 3 to 4 years. Fully reaching maturity around 6 years old, even though they may be the same size. Anyone who has ever seen a bald eagle fledgling can attest. They look full grown and like totally different birds until they get their bald heads. And condors can live up to 60 years.
Condors don't build nests because they roost, as do you.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to roost in very high areas like tall peaks and in cavities of peaks or in limbs of branches of alpine trees. When they lay eggs, it is an egg that is about 5 inches long and weighs about 10 ounces, and all partners take turns in sitting on it. Now, note that I said all partners and not both partners. The egg does not rest in a nest. It hangs out there with the adult condors on the floor of the peak or on the alpine branch, wherever they are. Female condors lay eggs about every other year, and they hatch about 2 months after they're laid.
Some quick history of California condors. Prior to the 19th century, it was very common to see them soaring in the skies overhead in any part of the western U.S. This species survived the last ice age, in fact. But in the mid-1800s, the number of condors in the sky began to dwindle, and soon they were only able to be seen over California. This is how they got their name. But then, thanks to some of our favorite circumstances, like climate change, construction, and the use of DDT, which had deadly effects on many bird populations, by 1967, the condor was considered endangered. And by 1987, the condor population had shrunk to only 22 birds. Yikes.
Yes, that is a very big reduction. In order to protect these species, something had to be done. Thus, the California Condor Recovery Program was launched. This was initiated by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and was achieved through partnerships with many organizations, including the National Park Service, the Bureau of Land Management, the U.S. Forest Service, the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources, the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, the Arizona Game and Fish Department, the Ventana Wildlife Society, the Chapultepec Zoo, the Santa Barbara Zoo, the Oregon Zoo, the Los Angeles Zoo, the San Diego Zoo, and the Peregrine Fund. And if this list tells us anything, like all things in life, it takes a village.
The design of the recovery program promotes what is known as captive breeding. Through partnership with the many zoos, condors are captured and relocated to zoos to ensure a success in the reproduction process. This reduces the human and climate change threat on the populations as they repopulate.
From the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, quote, "The goal of the California Condor Recovery Plan is to take steps toward recovery by establishing two wild, geographically distinct, self-sustaining populations, each with 150 birds in the wild and at least 15 breeding pairs, with a third population of condors retained in captivity. There are three active release sites in California, one in Arizona, and one in Baja, Mexico. We're working with the National Park Service and the Yurok Tribe on a new release site in the Yurok Ancestral Territory and Redwood National Park in Northern California," end quote.
This means that condors are in captivity for reproduction with the goal of making it out to the wild. Once they are ready for the wild, they are released at one of the six release sites, thus introduction to one of the five flocks. Condors released at the Hopper Mountain Wildlife Refuge Complex joined the Southern California flock, which was established in 1995.
Condors released at the Vermilion Cliffs National Monument become part of the Southwest flock, which includes the condors of Utah and Arizona, which was established in 1996.
Condors released at Pinnacles National Park and Big Sur National Monument joined the Central California flock, established first in 1997.
The ones released in Baja California, Mexico, joined the Mexico flock, which was started in 2002.
And the condors released in Redwoods National Park join the Northwest California flock, which began in 2022.
So this program is alive and well and continues to breed condors in captivity, and they are very intentional about making sure none of these flocks overlap. You can often see condors in and around these release sites. So the official national parks where it is possible to see California condors include Pinnacles, which is where we saw them, Redwood, Sequoia and Kings Canyon, all in California, Zion National Park in Utah, and Grand Canyon National Park in Arizona.
And officially, going from 22 condors near extinction, due to the work of the Condor Recovery Program, the California condor population is now over 560 total condors, with over 300 of them being in the wild.
Okay, so we've come a long way.
We have. Look at
that.
Yeah.
A lot of, like, beautiful work from, like, intentional conservation efforts.
Yeah.
That have been brought to us by the ability to fund them and keep them funded and keep the research going.
Right. Well, I mean, I think when you think about all, like, endangered species or parklands that have had recovery based off the reintroduction of endangered species, you know, I first think of the falcon population and golden eagles and California condors, because they were all greatly affected by DDT. I mean, that was such a big,
huge deal.
Pesticide wreaked havoc on specifically
bird populations. I mean,
because it weakened the shells,
eggs, which is why bald eagles were endangered for so long. And now the population is, you know, booming again and healthy.
Yeah. But I also think about reintroduction of gray wolves into Yellowstone. They were once a major apex predator in that space.
Yeah.
And then elk populations and deer became so big, and you reintroduce those populations of gray wolves, rivers change course.
Yes.
Like, there's so much that is different because the elk aren't allowed to just roam without a predator. It is always fascinating when it's like, oh, we done messed up and we've, like, totally decimated this animal population, and now we're trying to do the work to repair it. What happens in that repair to nature is specifically in areas where these animals once historically roamed or were a part of the ecosystem. It's fascinating what happens to that environment when they come back.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the California condor is no different in that it has a very specific role that it plays in the ecosystem that it lives within. And it has a direct relationship with a lot of those big giant animals that you just mentioned.
Right.
So let's now talk about some of the current threats to the condor population.
While climate change and reduction of funding for wildlife resources are always a threat to all species, California condors are particularly vulnerable given their critically endangered status. Any change to their circumstances can affect the population, though the biggest major threat at this time is the very much preventable threat of lead poisoning, which is the leading cause of condor death. Condors are cleanup scavengers. They depend on predator animals to hunt other animals, and then when the predators are done feasting, the condor comes in to eat on the remaining carrion. Now, with more human hunters involved who use bullets and ammunition that contain lead, this lead makes its way into the condor's body, threatening their life.
This is easily preventable, as long as human hunters use non-toxic, lead-free ammunition for hunting, as well as follow the rules of leave no trace when it comes to hunting. Do not leave any of your ammunition out in the wild, including if it is in an animal. And condors are not the only species who face this threat.
When the Peregrine Fund x-rayed a group of deer who had been hunted with lead bullets, they found pieces of lead fragments throughout their bodies. This was an example of the circle of life at work. This threat to California condors also affects numerous other animals who may depend on that deer meat to survive, including humans. There are between 100 and 200 free-flying condors in the condor population at this time. Of the condors that were brought back in for testing, they found that almost 90% of them tested positive for lead poisoning. The Condor Rehab Program out of Vermilion Cliffs National Monument gave way to the formation of the North American Non-Lead Partnership, whose mission it is to spread awareness about lead poisoning and eliminate the use of lead ammunition in the hunting community.
Note that hunting is not allowed in the national parks. And while California condors are often seen in the confines of a national park and are released inside of national park spaces, that does not mean that they only scavenge for food inside of park boundaries. A condor can go wherever it needs to for food, and that means they may find themselves seeking food in areas where hunting is legal and permitted.
And we know what you were thinking. Other than using non-lead ammunition, what are some ways that we can help the California condor population? The first and most effective way to help condors and all species is to follow the guidelines and principles of Leave No Trace, especially when it comes to waste and microtrash. This is specific, but also applies to antifreeze if you happen to be working on a car.
If you happen to reside in an area with condors and find that they are landing in and around your residence, which, let's just say this, everybody, highly unlikely unless you live up very, very high in the mountains, motion-sensored scarecrows, spraying water, and loud sounds are also safe ways to deter condors if that is something you need to do to deter condors from your home. We could only be so lucky.
Mm-hmm.
I would love if I only had
an AI brain.
I mean, I really wish I had a problem of like, I just have so many California condors in my yard.
I just like motion sensor scarecrows.
I know.
What is that about?
I know.
Dorothy would freak out.
That is what the official condor recovery suggests, is motion censored scarecrows.
Okay. I just imagine it's like one of those Halloween hags that you pass by and it just lights up. That's my...
like it's sitting there with a bowl of candy.
And then it goes, yeah. And its eyes just light
up. It's essentially that.
Okay,
it's the same tech.
Great. Perfect.
I imagine that company also makes those.
Condors, like other birds, can get trapped in wires. So be sure to keep lids on trash cans and don't leave out garbage that can cause easy entanglement.
And if you see a California condor outside of a wildlife area, note the color of the tag and the number. And email the Condor Recovery Program at hoppermountain@fws.gov. Now, we're going to end this episode with something fun, but first, the sources for today's episode include
the Ventana Wildlife Society,
the National Park Service,
the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service,
the Peregrine Fund,
UC Davis Department of Veterinary Medicine,
the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources,
the Arizona Game and Fish Department,
and the California Department of Fish and Wildlife. Hey, y'all, it's Dusty and Mike with exciting news.
That's right. It's our episode finder. It's all about making finding our episodes even easier.
Want to find more episodes about hikes in Shenandoah with over 10 episodes across two separate seasons? It would have involved a lot of scrolling and searching.
Now, with our episode finder, you can find all those episodes with a few easy clicks. That way, finding an episode on Yosemite from season 1 is just as easy as finding an episode on Zion, Yellowstone, and Haleakala. All all in separate seasons.
With over 275 episodes in 35 different national parks, our episode finder will add ease when finding out more about hikes in these spaces.
But it's not just about hikes by national park. We've categorized our entire library so you can find hikes by state, hikes by terrain, and hikes by difficulty.
And all of our Trail Mix episodes are there too, so you can easily find our science-based episodes, interviews, and more.
Planning a trip to Colorado and want to hear more about our adventures there? Want to grunt it out on some really tricky trails or learn more about glaciers, grasslands, and mountains?
Just click the link in our show notes or on our Instagram bio, and it pops right up. You can also head directly to our website and look for the episode finder at the top of the navigation bar.
Conquer one hike in one national park, one park at a time, with just a few clicks with our episode finder. Happy trails!
Okay, Mike. So, okay, first let's talk about the condors we saw in Pinnacles National Park.
Yeah.
So we talk about it in the episodes that we produced on Pinnacles, but yep. One of the hopes and dreams we had of going to Pinnacles that was that we would be able to see California condors. And did we do that while we were there?
We saw plenty.
How many did we see?
I think when it came to real condors, we saw five.
Yes, we saw
two
five,
on balcony cliffs,
four that
no,
we
three
were,
on balcony cliffs, and then two at High Point.
Correct. Yeah. We saw two at High Point, three on balcony cliffs. But the of the three on balcony cliffs, we were only able to really see the numbers of two of them.
Right.
There was a third one, but it was so high up.
Yeah.
But we couldn't see that one.
Yeah.
So, yes, we saw four whose numbers that we could identify. And then one whose we couldn't.
Mystery.
But question for you is, tell the folks at home, what is special about condors on their wings?
Their wings have tags that are colored and numbered. So it allows you to look up information on those condors and find information about who their parents are, what flock they're from, who their partners might be, because they can have multiple partners, and their age. I'm trying to think if there's anything else.
Okay, yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Okay, so one of the best parts about spotting condors in the wild is that you can look up their story.
Yeah.
Right? So all of the condors...
The orphanage.
who lives, who flies, who tells your story.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. So... anyway, this helps with location and population tracking, of course, but it also... Oh my God, it gives you the tea on all of the condors that you see. And
salacious,
I'm obsessed.
Mm-hmm.
So the Peregrine Fund has created this website, condorspotter.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go there and you can put
I use it
in,
at the gym.
I know you do. You can put in the color and the number based on the tag that you see. And then, you know, as you mentioned, they help to differentiate flocks and generations and release sites. So when we were in Pinnacles, we saw four condors. And we actually, while we were there, we looked up a lot of this. But we thought we had found all the information, but alas, we had not.
Oh, you dug deeper?
We dug deeper. Because, of course, you know I'm a researcher.
You are. Mm-hmm. Detective Dusty.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
For the record, our friends were like, oh my God, this cute guy was working down at the tile store. They didn't know
store.
His name. Was it a car? I thought it was a tile store.
Maybe carpet/tile.
I definitely thought it was tile.
Okay.
I found his name and all of his information and what he looks like and everything within 5 minutes.
Dusty is that friend.
I am that friend. Mm-hmm. So, okay. While we were at Pinnacles, we saw four condors. And we looked up the info for these birds while we were there. But the four that we saw pink 27.
Mm-hmm.
We saw beige 86.
Mm-hmm.
Purple 92. And green 26.
Mm-hmm. Not enough for lottery numbers.
Correct. And so for this last segment, this is going to be called Condor Tea because
Condor
we're
tea.
Just going to gossip about condors.
Right.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, so let's start here. Condors are, in fact, full of drama.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense. They're aloof. They're high up in the air. They're cloaked in mystery. They look a little unapproachable.
The real condors of Pinnacles National Park.
Right, exactly.
Get on it, Andy Cohen.
I know. And the thing is, like, I don't want condors to be gentle and sweet. I want them to be, like, dramatic and far too much and, like, a lot. And that's what I need from them, right? Like, I need it to be, like, a lot for them to be a thing, right? Okay, so let's start with pink 27. Are you ready? Okay, so we saw pink 27 on our second day. Now, he doesn't have a name, but he used to be seen a lot with Pink 68, which was another male.
My goodness.
Exactly. And according to the sources, they have recently grown apart. However, he is now often seen with Beige 86, which is another male
who we also saw.
So we can, in fact, because we were there, confirm their intimate proximity.
Were they the two we saw on High Point?
Yes.
Oh.
No, no, no. And by, no, no, Balcony Cliffs. They were the two we saw on Balcony Cliffs.
Way.
They were across from each other. So they're often seen together. Yes. Okay. So now let's talk about Beige 86.
Okay.
Okay. So Pink 27 was the one really far to the right. And then Beige 86 was the one who was sort of up on our left, like had his back toward us a lot of the time. Okay, so Beige 86 has the name Cockacat, which is a tribal name which means winged one, or winged one, but winged, I think is how we'll pronounce it today, right? And he apparently tends to keep a quiet profile, not stirring up too much, plays by the rules. And that's what we know about Beige 86. So I do think they are giving like older gay male couple, if I've ever seen one. It's sort of like, we're seen together, but we live in separate places. We love one another, but I want my alone time. So that's who I think they are.
Oh, okay. Great.
They have Bird and Ernie energy to me.
I think you meant to say Bird and Ernie energy.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay, okay, okay. But now it's time to get into the real tea.
Okay.
Now, we knew some of this tea because we looked it up, which we looked it up. There's one of these birds named Little Stinker who had quite a story. So we're going to get into that in a second. But first, we're going to start with Purple 92.
Okay.
Okay. Now, if... let's go back to our very first day. We're sitting there and we look up and literally we sat at High Peaks for
about
I don't know, 10 minutes. And suddenly, like, they were appearing for the 12:15 show. These two birds just emerged atop these two peaks right in front of us. And they're like high, sharp rocks is what they are, which is what a pinnacle is. And they just sat there for a long time. And directly in front of us was Purple 92. And then over to the side was Green 26. Okay. So Purple 92. Okay. So he was hatched in the Oregon Zoo.
Okay.
Okay. And then released in Pinnacles in 2015. So he's been there. He's been there for 10 years. Okay. He is extremely mischievous.
Oh.
Apparently.
This is Little Stinker?
No.
Oh.
No. This is Purple 92 without a name.
Oh.
Right. Little Stinker is Green 26. And we're going to get to her. And I say her because she is actually female.
Okay.
Purple 92 will sometimes be seen like stealing stuff from hikers.
Oh.
Which, P.S., condors do. So everybody, don't ever leave any trash. Don't ever leave anything out. Because
swoop on down.
They will swoop on down. Okay. But this little diva, Purple 92, was in a trio romantic relationship with a female condor and another male condor. But then the other male died.
Oh.
I know.
I kissed a girl at summer camp, but then she drowned.
It's giving that energy sure, that 30 rock energy. That. But all we have to say here, obviously, is that love is love, and the more the merrier for them. So we saw him perch directly above us, and it was so dramatic because, like, they sat there for about 15 minutes, and then they very dramatically flew off. Cynthia was able to catch it on video. Their legs look like Muppets. So that moment, it like dove right over us, Purple 92. It was everything we ever wanted. Okay. Now, hold on. This is the real, real, real tea. Are you ready? Okay. So you thought that might have been all, but no, there's more. So let's get into Green 26. Okay. So this is the condor that appeared on the left on the other rock across from Purple 92.
Yep.
It was the only female condor that we saw the whole time we were there. The other ones we saw were male. And this is the female condor from the aforementioned trio relationship.
Oh, okay, great. So they're
can
still
you believe
out.
That? Yes. So, okay, so we got both of the divas as that were previously a part of the trio. Okay, but it gets better. So her name is
Little Stinker.
Little Stinker. That is her name. And she's messy.
Oh.
She's a messy girl. So here's the tea with her. some of which we heard then, but there's a little more now. So she and Purple 92 were in this trio relationship, happily, it seems, I might add, with White 93.
Uh-huh.
But then White 93 died.
Mm.
I know. So Little Stinker and Purple 92, they stayed together, right? So the situation is this. They've tried to have kids. At this time, none of Little Stinker's eggs have ever hatched. She lays them, but they don't hatch.
Mm.
I know. But then Purple 92 got sick.
Oh.
Yes. And they had to take him into captivity for treatment. So when Purple 92 was gone, Little Stinker decided she was going to saddle up with Green 00.
Oh.
Right. So she and Green 00 are just hanging out, having fun, being a romantic couple, and everything is going fine. But then Purple 92 gets better, and they release him back into the wild. And when Little Stinker gets a whiff of Purple 92 again, she's like, goodbye, Green 00. I don't know who you are anymore.
Oh.
And goes back to Purple 92.
Well, she's loyal.
She's loyal. They're extremely loyal to their mates.
Mm-hmm.
That is apparently the case. Mm-hmm. And polyamorous.
And she didn't want to bring Green 00 in as a third, apparently.
It's right, which I was curious about that. I'm like, clearly Purple 92 is open to whatever, and so is she.
I mean,
but
maybe.
I guess they really like it when it's just the two of them.
Okay.
So you could never be half the man my original man was, mm-hmm. so Green 00 is out. So she goes back to Purple 92, and we got to see both of them that day in Pinnacles.
We did.
And they clearly rule the roost because
they do.
And we can confirm because from firsthand account, their relationship is currently going great.
Mm. And that's the real Condors of Pinnacles National Park.
Correct. Wait, what would their housewives, what would Little Stinker's housewife tagline be? It's my way till payday. No, but
no.
It's something like that.
Mm-hmm.
These peaks might be messy, but my nest is clean.
Mm-hmm. Looking for more episodes like the one you just heard? Then be sure to check out our episode finder for episodes by park, state, hiking difficulty, and terrain, as well as all of our Trail Mix episodes in one helpful place. Click the link in the show notes of this episode, our Instagram bio, or visit our website to make your listening experience even easier.
This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created, produced, edited, and hosted by us,
Justin Dallard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. That's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram and on our website is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariella Klinger, with Sean Sclios on guitar. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode, that we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as New Jersey.